Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hello and welcome to Beauty Inside Out. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, nutritionist, wellness expert, and author. This is our very special Thursday Q&A segment where I love to hear what you guys are thinking and I answer your questions every single week. So here we go with this week's questions. Hey, beauties, welcome back to our Thursday Q&A podcast. I'm so excited to talk about our topic with you today, which is cutting out expectations and reducing disappointments. So as we will soon get into, this is a huge source of stress, anxiety, and unhappiness in our lives. And we want to talk about some tips, tools, and protocols we can put into place for increasing our happiness and presence and accepting life as it is, and which will, of course, increase our joy and wellness all around. So this is a big topic. Super excited. Before we dive in, I just want to give a quick reminder. If you haven't yet left us a review on iTunes, please just take literally 1 minute to click on there and leave us a review. It is an amazing way to support our podcast and to spread the love, the light, the community resources that can really help reach and help a lot of people, which is really our motivation for being on here. So thank you so much in advance. And you could also take a screenshot of the podcast here on your phone and text it to a loved one or maybe post it on your Facebook or Instagram story. And that's another amazing way to share. So that being said, let's dive right into our topic today. We have our beautiful, amazing Caitlin out in New York with us, who's gathered the questions. Hello, Kay.
Hey, guys. So great to be back on the show today. I'm really excited because it is our 300th episode. We've been together for many moons, and new listeners and old listeners, we're so appreciative of you, and I always love our time together on Thursday.
Oh my gosh. Okay, you know, I was thinking when you said it was late 2015 that we started this. And I remember because the podcast picture, which we are going to be changing soon, I was like 5 months pregnant with Bubby.
Yeah, no, I know it's a whirlwind to, I know we don't, you know, put too much emphasis always on time and all of that. But when you do take a moment for the reflection, it's like, wow, you know, cause we're not paying attention to it. It really flies by sometimes. So yeah, we have
so amazing, but you know what it is, kids, with children help ground you into some sense of time. Because I think, you know, when I was pregnant, I had all these ideas and there was a lot of, you know, a lot of mamas out there will, I think, resonate with this. Just things were birthing, things were coming when I was pregnant, and this podcast was one of them. So super exciting to think
about
how
far we've come. I think about the first day when you and John were like, okay, we're going to do a podcast and you're going to be on. And I was like, what? And I was so uncomfortable and I was shaking and sweating and I was fumbling
over
my words.
And I don't know, okay, we want you.
I didn't want to do it, but not because I didn't want to be part of the community. I'm a behind the scenes person. So I felt very vulnerable to be out and talking. And it was great to meet people when we went on tour in 2016. Yes. And they're like, oh, you got so much better. It was kind of fun to then see people be on this journey together. And I guess that's one of the things kind of segues into our theme today about expectations. I had a certain expectation of myself and didn't want to feel disappointed or feel judged and things like that. I think expectations are a huge thing to bring to light for people, because for me especially, it's brought me a lot of turmoil I didn't need to have. And I know you as well, Kay. It's something, you know, you've dealt with, and it's kind of another universal truth. We've been doing kind of these themes every week.
Yes, because we all have this, the collective has these experiences. We feel like, oh, it's just me, or like I have this. But it's true. We all experience this in different forms.
Exactly. So hopefully everybody resonates, whether the situation that we talk about for each person doesn't have to necessarily, you know, directly relate to you, but I'm sure a lot of these themes you can tie to something in your life, whether it's not exact or not. So with that, we can roll into Megan's question. And Megan lives in Jacksonville, Oregon. And she says, what is your recommendation on how to deal with skeptical loved ones? I've recently made some shifts in my diet and lifestyle, which I'm proud of myself for. I tend to shy away from my values to avoid conflict, even though that these changes are healthy and positive. I begin to second guess myself and lose confidence in my choices.
Megan, thank you so much for your question. Sending you love in Oregon. We are so grateful for you and the community and for also posting this question, which is something that I think a lot of us have also dealt with to varying degrees. It can be very difficult when, you know, food is something that a lot of family traditions are based around and times for gathering and eating out or cooking at home or whatever. So I understand that it can feel this inner conflict between shifting your lifestyle, making perhaps different choices than the food that you grew up eating, and then loved ones questioning or feeling threatened. So first of all, I think it's really important to, well, you know, what I hear in this question is you're shifting your behavior because you feel bad or because of someone else. And that's never going to feel good. I think it's really important that we stay authentic to who we are and what we're feeling in that time. Otherwise, we're kind of living a lie and we're not living in tune with our values. And I think that creates a lot of stress. And I just don't think that is helpful to anyone in any situation. And I don't think that's what your family members would want for you either. So I think it's really important to stay true to yourself, what you're feeling, what you want to eat, and how you live. Now, within that, if we're in a space where we just feel good about it, what we can just live it and be it. There's no preaching, there's no convincing, there's no winning arguments, there's no bringing up arguments. If we just have this peacefulness and owning how we are, we can also give that to other people. If we treat them with so much respect and love and we don't judge at all, then usually that sort of energy gets reciprocated. And if someone is not feeling, you know, it has to come from that, I think. If they're not feeling really good or they're feeling threatened and they kind of pick at your choices, you just don't engage and you just say, you know what, I just feel really good eating this way. Or the 1K that kind of stops the discussion is, you know, my digestive system feels better eating this way. Because who's going to argue with how you feel or how your digestion works? So we take out the, you know, the stressful conversation, the feeling like we need to argue or win or show someone that we're right or they're wrong and whatever. We just do our thing. We literally, if they're eating a certain way and you make some of your own food, you offer some dish. Share, you don't make a big deal. You keep it about connecting with the person heart to heart, soul to soul, other things, not food, but like a real connection, like what's going on in your life, how you're feeling. And you just do your thing, but staying rooted and staying authentic, I think is so important. Whatever family member we're around, whatever old friends we're around, whatever situation is, if you go off track from being authentic to yourself, then you're kind of selling yourself out. And I just don't think we can sway ourselves like that. I think there's really a loving way to stay authentic and to stay in our power, but to help other people feel good where they are too. So it's not my way or your way. It's our ways are equal and they happen to be different and that's okay.
Yeah, I think that correlates with a big thing that you've started to talk about too, just meeting people where they're at. And you don't have to shout from the rooftop, you know, what you're doing and how right. You feel, unless you really want to and you feel confident and you want to do that. If I've gone in different directions in my life with my food choices, and I've found for me that happy medium of, and people react a lot better than when, you know, you try to force them into what you think. It's like, okay, well, right. I'm going to do my thing. I don't even really mention it. If somebody asks, I'll talk about it. If it's openly reciprocated, if it's not, you know, they can feel good about what they're eating and right. That's right. And then it kind of takes away all of that, you know, like, or it could maybe make shame or guilt for somebody else. And there's all these feelings that people have around food, which we talked about last week. It can just be a really heavy topic. So I think that's great advice and something I've kind of honed myself of, just kind of taking the higher path and coming from a compassionate, loving angle versus a judgment.
That's exactly. It's just at the end of the day, it's food and choices. It doesn't have to involve conflict at all. And if I just love and respect myself so much, I will love and respect you and your choices so much. There's not going to be any conflict. We are different. We eat differently, but it is equal. And really going in with that mindset is the way to navigate this time and time again.
And I think with our theme of like expectation is not having an expectation for somebody to, either praise or deny, you know, your choices. It's just you feeling good about it yourself. And I think that kind of helps with that then end result of you don't feel disappointed or not with how somebody's going to react because you're not, you know, broadcasting. It's for you and maybe you have a conversation or not. And I think that that's definitely a healthy way to reduce those feelings in your life.
No, when I'll say quickly too, Kay, with relatives, I used to feel like I had to convince them because I had the knowledge that they were eating this really charred, carcinogenic chicken. And like, I wanted to show them that they could eat this other way. And here's all these substitutes. And it actually created a lot of stress and a lot of separation between me and them because it was like arguing, like showing, like, you know, oh, don't you see my way? And when I just dropped it, I'm like, you know, this is where they are. And I could sit next to them while they're eating a sausage pepperoni pizza from Domino's. And I'm eating my homemade soup and just have a great conversation and just feel that equality. Like on that level of like, I respect you where you are. You respect me where I am. It was so peaceful and loving. And it just made everything so much better. And I really had to go into myself and get to that place of, hey, I don't have to, it's not my job. It's not my responsibility. It's not my place to teach or to teach them. They're not wanting to learn. So that's the reality of what is.
Yeah. No, I remember that. And I think that's such a great, great lesson to share with everybody because sometimes people don't get there or it takes them a long time. So hopefully, you know, this little mini micro conversation we're having helps a lot of you because this question does come up a lot about how to deal with just talking about food in general. A lot of big topics. So to jump from one big topic to another big topic, Veronica from Middlebury, Connecticut is asking, I would like to ask for some breastfeeding advice. I had a baby about 4 weeks ago, but unfortunately, I've been struggling to produce milk and I did have to supplement with formula, even though I honestly didn't want to. And it makes me feel like I'm failing my baby and it's frustrating and sad.
Oh, Veronica, sending you so much love. Huge hug. First of all, mama, congratulations. You are a new mama. You have brought through your amazing body. You have brought this baby into the world. So let's take a step back and say, amazing. Our bodies as women, whether we choose to have children or not, the fact that we have this power and this capacity for this creative power to come through is amazing. And so congratulations. That's incredible. I understand there's, first of all, the whole mom topic, hey, there's so much shame, pressure. Oh, you know, do you have this thing or your carrier's better or I should be doing this or, you know, I'm juggling work or I don't work and I'm with my kid or whatever it is. There's so many different areas. And it's a huge point of standing in our power of who we are and know that we're doing the best and having clarity, right? And like whatever feels right to us and not compare. So with the whole milk thing, you know, I have some great breastfeeding blogs. Videos about foods that can help. But it sounds like you've already gone down that path. And I do know people that, for whatever reason, just can't produce the milk. And it does not mean in any way you are not a good mom or that you are a failure. It's just how it is. You are a loving, amazing, caring mom. Just the fact that you are writing in that you care, you love your baby, that's what really counts. That love, that growth, that holding your child, being there for them, you know, whatever, like they have to have some formula. They're going to be around for their whole childhood. You can give them healthy food and you can more than make up for it. It's okay. Just give yourself a hug and compassion. I mean, there's no shame if your body, you're having trouble with milk, having formula, like that's just the way it is. And I think we're all so hard on ourselves and like we have this picture for what the perfect mother should be like and the perfect childhood and this and this. Just do your best. You know, every stage will keep evolving. Soon you'll be, you know, into solids and, you know, giving your child hopefully some glowing green smoothie to start. So just do your best at every stage and remember no mom is perfect and it is what it is. It's okay. It's more than okay. So that's my take on that.
Yeah, I thought it would be nice to address this. I personally haven't had children yet, but I have friends that have and they've had the gamut of you know, producing milk easily and not, and, you know, the feelings and stigmas that come either way, and resentments and things like that for my friend can, I can't. And they're just, it really does create, I mean, I'm not in that world yet, but just seeing it from afar from my friends, it was shocking to me, you know, how much there is those, you know, expectations and shame and blame. And we obviously, whether you're a mom or not a mom, this is something that our community you're involved in, and you know, friends, that everybody can kind of help support each other and kind of have like a mama support, as women, whether it's yourself or a friend, it's a huge issue. And we never want anybody to feel shamed and kind of, you know, readjusting your expectations around things with motherhood. It's, you gotta be flexible, right, Kay?
You gotta be flexible, and you just have to, again, know, like, tune in. You know, for me, the, you know, the last 2 years, Bubby's two now, just really having these, finding your little tribe, like the mom's groups I'm in are really open-minded because I'm doing things my own way, okay? And, you know, the resounding advice, thankfully, I found these groups where it's really just tune into your wisdom. And if you know that you're doing your best and, hey, your body just isn't producing the milk, just own that and say, you know what? I'm getting organic formula. I'm doing the best I can do. I'm doing all this, you know, other stuff, you know, whatever. And, you know, like just being there with my child, doing skin to skin, organic baby clothes, whatever, you know, all these other things, I'm doing my best. And then each stage they keep developing and you just stick to your truth. I remember, Kay, I had this big shame moment come in where I posted what I thought was like an innocuous picture of where I was working. I was, I can't remember. I was writing an article, or I was editing Radical Beauty or something. And Bubby, who, you know, by the way, I'm still breastfeeding. And then there becomes another complexity, shame of breastfeeding a child over two. I mean, it just never stops in any way. But anyways, I was feeding him and I was working on my computer and I was pumping on one breast. Now, granted, remember now, children, like when you're fully breastfeeding, they're feeding like many times a day. And he was attached to me, you know, okay, like he didn't nap in his crib. He slept with me, napped on me, ate. So yes, I was working and he was feeding. And there was all these comments like, oh, you shouldn't be working when your child's breastfeeding and things. And I was like, but I am, you know, for my schedule, like this is what I'm doing. Like, I feel really good. Like, I'm really passionate about my work, which doesn't feel like work. I'm, you know, I love to share. I love to connect. I'm doing this and I have a baby and I'm trying to do what, you know, I'm doing my best. And it just felt like all these comments and like the shame, and it really, I don't know, it just kind of like, it really didn't feel good.
Yeah.
And so we all know that sting of shame. And the best thing we can do is just to not shame other people, and it starts with not shaming ourselves. I really feel like when we shame ourselves, when we don't feel good about ourselves, we put it out into the world. So that's where that love and compassion, starting with ourselves, will help transform the world, the more of us that do it.
Well, thank you for adding those additional things. I think that really helps our moms out there and non-moms alike. As Kimberly mentioned, we have a couple really great blogs for anybody who is looking for some more details about breastfeeding and things like that. So we'll link over on KimberlyCenter.com. So with said, beauties, we're going to take a short break here, and then Kimberly will be back to answer the last two questions.
My life has gotten extra busy the last few years. I am running around, working from home, also running after little bub. And if you're busy like me, you know the first step in any beauty routine is, first of all, just simply finding time for it. Let's be real. Every day, wearing a full face of perfect makeup just isn't going to happen. In fact, for me, I can probably count the days I've had a full face of makeup in the past year, and it's mostly when I have to for a speaking gig or something like that. My day-to-day is wearing makeup that is very easy to apply, but looks good and works really well and has maximum impact. So I want to share a beauty brand that I like very much, and it's called Wander Beauty. What's so great about it for busy people like all of us is that a lot of their beauty products are multitasking. So even when you don't have a lot of time, you can get ready in about 5 minutes, which is about the time I take when and if I'm using makeup. This company was founded by a working mom who knows how important and precious our time is. Wonder Beauty completely streamlines your beauty routine with fewer products that work better. Everything is also clean, cruelty-free, and made with ingredients that your skin will love. I love how easy their double-sided products work, especially their On the Glow blush. I love using the Coral Rose and the Nude Glow. So it goes on really nice. It looks really natural. And then you put this nice shimmery part on top and it gives you this beautiful glow in just a few seconds, whether you're headed out to the park or to the grocery store. It just gives you that little oomph. Wonder Beauty has already won a ton of awards, including Allure's Best of Beauty Award, and has fans everywhere. Wonder Beauty is for everyone, not just for beauty junkies. So it's time to make your morning with Wonder Beauty. Get 20% off your purchase at wonderbeauty.com/beauty. That's wonderbeauty.com/beauty for 20% off. wonderbeauty.com/beauty.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hey, beauties, if you're looking for insight on business and personal development, check out The Jordan Harbinger Show here on Podcast One. Jordan dives deep into the untapped wisdom of the world of top performers, from intelligence operatives to legendary musicians, iconoclastic writers to visionary change makers. Listen free each week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Hey, beauties, we are back from our break. We have two more questions for you guys on this important topic of cutting out expectations and reducing disappointments. So here we go. Okay, excited to hear the next ones.
Yes, let's dive in. The next question is from Alice, and she lives in Queens in New York. And she says, my boyfriend of 7 years broke up with me at a time I was expecting a proposal. How do I deal with this blow? And are there any foods or nutrients that would be especially helpful to incorporate during the different stages of
Alice,
grief?
Alice, thank you so much for your question and for bringing this to this safe space where we are here to support you and love you. Expecting something that's so different from how it turned out to be is a huge, 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 huge pain. I can feel it, you know, just from your question and what you're writing in. So first of all, I'll say that when something like this happens, and it's really hard in that moment, but to take a step back and to say, you know what, it's actually, if this is going to happen, thank God it happened now. You know, what would have happened if we went down the road in 5 years and then we broke up, or maybe there was, you know, more complicated circumstances or more time or whatever. The two books I'll recommend that you guys have heard me mention before, if you listen to other podcasts, are first Letting Go by Dr. David Hawkins. And he has a whole section about grief and about this whole idea, which is, you know, the endless thought and tuning into the feeling of the grief, like really sitting with it. It's like detoxing it, not running from it, not hiding, not drinking it away, not whatever, just sitting with it. And it will start to drain out of your body. The energy behind it will start to dissipate. And that's what I did when I was healing from my mom passing away last year, was I really would sit and sit in the grief and sit in the pain. For me, a lot of it was mourning. I do these beach walks, and sometimes I would just be walking and crying and, you know, just feeling it. And it was a time where, like, you know, before Bobby woke up, it was just the time I could really let it out. So whatever time of day, whatever space you need to create for that, is so important. Like, wow, you know, it's true. This isn't how I thought it was going to turn out. But the reality is, it is what is. And so we have to face it and come to peace with it. So that book is really helpful. And also, I've spoken about it again recently, but Byron Katie's work, Inquiry, it's called The Work. You can go to thework.com and look at her amazing process and also her books. Questioning. So let's say your thought is that's causing you stress is, he shouldn't have broke up with me. We can turn it around. Part of her process is turning it around to show how thoughts can be changed, turning it around to, he should have broke up with me. And we can look at it and say, you know what, he should have, because he wasn't really into it. And I was just kind of going along with it too. And now I have this whole life ahead of me where I can explore and find myself again and, you know, travel a little bit, or now I know what I'm looking for in a relationship or whatever it is. You know, like, there's ways to turn it around and to, that will help with healing. So those are two things that I really recommend. And just giving yourself time and space for stillness and meditation. And then I'll also say, food-wise, when there's all this going around and change, it's so great to have stabilizing warm food in your system. It's a great time to have some warm meals, some warm stews, some warm soups, warm elixirs, giving yourself some heat. Lots of ginger comes to mind. You know, again, like, I put ginger in a lot of my stews, like a lentil veggie soup would be really good. Not overly heavy, like fatty, you know, just fried, nothing like that, but fiber and warmth and whole foods. Like, again, the lentils, carrots, squash would be fantastic. Not too, like, raw right now, not just like all salads and light. You need something in your body that's going to help you feel really stabilized. Also, like I said, these beach walks came about when my mom was passing away. The grounding element, connecting to the earth, walking barefoot, being in your yard, getting down to the beach.
All right, great. Well, we're going to head into the last question of our show today, which is from Blanca, and she's from Sarasota Springs, Utah. And her question is, how do I set better expectations around seeing others eating animals? I'm not a militant or mean, but sometimes I find myself sad knowing the suffering on their plates, especially with people that have asked me why I don't eat meat. They agree about the cruelty, but somehow
they can detach from it. Blanca, thank you so much for your question. This is a really beautiful question, actually, and it's something that I've struggled with myself. As time has gone on, the health aspect of being plant-based is always there and will always be a huge part of it. But for me, the environmental reasons and the animal reasons have also gotten really big for me. And so it used to really bug me, and I would say to people, don't you know about the factory farms? Or if you had to cut this out of a cow itself, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't be eating this. And it used to get riled up. I used to get sad. I used to just, you know, have those feelings come up all the time. But I would say in the past year or so, I've been really influenced by different ancient texts like the Tao Te Ching, which is called the Great Way. And it's basically this somewhat cryptic spiritual book written by Lao Tzu thousands of years ago. You know, it's where the quote, the journey of a thousand steps starts with the first one. You know, what I'm paraphrasing, but that idea. And these great teachings, you know, Buddhism, talk about this idea of acceptance in the moment and acceptance where people are and not comparing. And at first, those concepts were really hard for me to embody. But then I was talking about my friend Etta too, and she was like, you know, if we take 10,000 steps, there is perfection going on in the world, how things are playing out. For instance, you know, just there's been all this political, you know, stuff happening. And then out of that, women have risen up, and there's been a lot of, you know, women's rights and women groups and circles. And so it's creating this balance in its own way. And I'm really hard to understand, how can you ignore suffering, or how can you still eat that? But that means we're coming from our perspective perspective, and we just really have to honor that everybody's perspective is equal. We're all equal, different, but equal. And so for me, again, going back to these texts about acceptance and about, you know, again, just looking at the big picture, taking a step back, trusting that everything, God, the universe, whatever term you want to use, is working things out. So to me, I just try to rely on my spirituality and trust. And I just know that all I can do, all you can do, Blanca, is follow what's in your heart and live your life. But we can't impose on other people. We can't judge other people. We can't look at what they're doing or what they're eating and think badly of them or try to bully them into eating another way. It just doesn't work. And so there's a calmness that comes from that acceptance. It doesn't mean that we don't talk about it if people are interested. It doesn't mean we don't live and become a living example of our ideals. It doesn't mean that we don't share when people are open to it, but it also means that we don't get stressed in our heads about things and, you know, people's decisions that are not going to change. And if they are not ready to change, we're just causing unnecessary stress to ourselves. So that's where that deep acceptance and peace comes in. And we can only just hope that maybe one day it will shift and send love. And again, just be that living example.
I can agree from personal experience as well going through this. I used to be the same. I try to force my ideas on my family and my friends, and they kind of got really, it was like an awkward environment to be around. And I feel like I have so much more happiness now taking that step back and just kind of not judging. I think that's a big lesson for everybody to take away. I can just from personal experience say that that's definitely helped me find a lot more peace in the journey and just feel more joyful in general. Like one person makes a difference. So if I'm making a change, that's enough. I don't have to convince everybody that's in my life
exactly.
to make
it's
the
just
change.
Like just by being, that's the most powerful thing you can really do. And it does really make a difference. Sometimes we just think, oh, but I need to change all these people or change all my family members. But really just being out in the world, doing your thing, that in itself is the most powerful way. And doing it with peace and love and compassion, that's going to make a difference. So we just have to trust that and trust that the bigger picture is somehow getting worked out, you know, through karmic means and cycles. And, you know, what we're seeing is just a really small piece of the bigger whole. So we have to have trust as well.
I love that. It's just a nice way to end today's show. And with that, we always like to ask you what your thought of the week is. Do you have
yes,
one
I do,
week?
Miss Kay. You asked me so sweetly. So here's the thought of the week, beauties, which you can contemplate now, tonight, maybe ruminate over the weekend on. It is focus on love. And oh my gosh, this is so perfect. Kay, I wrote this and now I'm thinking about what we just said. It shows how organically things are working out. Focus on love and not judging others as wrong, including with diet, and others won't judge us. So this goes back to, so I've become really into this text, okay? It's called the Tao Te Ching. And if you're interested in it, the best or my favorite, I won't say the best, but my favorite translation is by Stephen Mitchell, who is actually Byron Katie's husband, who we just had on the podcast as well. Yeah, they're like my favorite couple. They're both scholar, amazing. Well, he's more of a scholar formally, and she's getting all her wisdom downloaded, but they are just this brilliant, beautiful, amazing couple. And there's a line in it that says, the great way, and it's part of the Heart Sutra, this is part of the larger, you know, Chinese text that, I mean, he's translated everything and written about so many of it. But there's a quote that says, the great way is easy for those that have no preferences. When he says, you know, what we're talking about here is, again, this idea of non-judgment, of being where we are, taking right action, moving a step forward, but not looking to the side and constantly criticizing and judging what other people are doing, especially. And what happens when we hold that space of deep respect and deep peace and deep compassion, others end up respecting us more as well. And it just holds this beautiful boundary of I respect you, you respect me. It keeps things very loving and lovely. And it gets out of the ugliness of shame and tearing each other down and gossiping and all these energies, which are really destructive in our lives and never feel good. So we can just be in that loving space. And even if, you know, the person you're with is eating something you wouldn't eat, but just remind yourself, oh, you know, they are where they are and that's fine. It's beautiful where they are. And at some point I was there too. So we just remind ourselves, like, we're not better than anyone else. And no one's better than us. We just all are souls, beings on this journey. And it's a beautiful place to live. So maybe thinking about this weekend, where can you cut judgment out? You know, even a fleeting thought, or, you know, silently thinking about someone, a colleague while you're eating lunch next to them or whatever it is. Just try to transmute that judgment into loving acceptance, and you'll feel, you'll notice how much energy that calls into your life. It's really beautiful.
Well, thank you, Kimberly, for that. I feel, always have the warm and fuzzies after our thought of the week. That's why we always add it on the end. It's just a really nice way to end the show. As always, beauties, we hope you're feeling inspired and connected to us. We'd love to hear from you. Please go to KimberlySnitter.com/AskKimberly. Fill out the form there with your questions and topical ideas for our show. And I'm going to check them out and hopefully air them on an upcoming
episode. Awesome, Kay. Thank you so much. Thank you for being such a driving force in the community and just a beautiful soul. We love you so. And thank you, beauties, for tuning in. We love you also. We are all connected. We're so grateful and inspired by you. And we love you. Like Kay mentioned, any way we can support you through the questions, we're here. Also, we have our Monday interview shows and also, of course, daily inspiration on Instagram, which is @_KimberlySnyder, and our website, KimberlySnyder.com, which has tons of articles and recipes. So we are always here. We love you. We wish you all the best for your day. Take great care of yourself, and we will see you back here very soon.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.